This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show as we are on the road for the next couple of days with District Track. And today we have reports not only from down at Wilcox at the D7. I'm in Broken Bow today for the D8 meet, second time we've been up here in the last 3 years. And the field events are going on right now. Boys pole vault taking place right in front of us. Already some good marks as that competition continues. Also the shot put and the long jump for the boys. The girls are throwing the discus right now. They've got the triple jump and the high jump as well, and that'll be an interesting one to look at. And we'll get to all of that throughout the hour here. Coming up on the program today, tomorrow is B&C District, so we're going to preview one of the districts that will be at the C9 over at Wood River. Eagle coach Kevin Mayfield will join us in the second half of the show. Plus, we've got our Loper Link today, and a historic one it is. Michael Colgate from UNK Men's Golf takes off for Michigan over the weekend, and the NCAA Division II National Championships begin on Monday. And since UNK has went into Division II, the Loper men's golf team has never had anyone qualify for the Nationals until today. Michael Colgate winning the regional last week down in Missouri. So he will join us along with the Loper men's golf coach, Wes Burnt. So that's coming up. We'll also keep you up to date on the state soccer tournament. They have just kicked it off in Omaha between Kearney High going for the first round win against Westside. And we will keep you up to date on that. We may even get a chance at the end of the show when we get to halftime to talk to boys soccer coach Scott Steinbrook, who's down there, and he can give us a little update on what's going on in the first half of the Kearney High soccer match. So that's all going on the Doug and Daddy Show today. But as we start the program today, a couple of different things you want to bring up here from a national perspective, because it seems like most of the talk has gone to Michael Sam, or it's gone to Donald Sterling and the Clippers and his interview from a day ago with Anderson Cooper and blah, 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 blah. I want to get to more important stuff. I want to get to another notch in the Chicago Cubs legacy last night. They're in St. Louis. Monday night, they put up 17 runs. This is a team that can't score 17 runs in a month, and they put up 17 runs to beat the Cardinals, and they win it 17-5. Last night, they're ahead as well, but the Cardinals end up tying the game, sending it into extra innings. And how do the Cubs lose? That's right. Bases loaded, 0-2 count, throw one in the dirt because you're pitching like you're 14 years old, so it's 0-2. Watch this big curve. And then the 1-2 pitch, you plunk the guy, and the winning run walks in on hit by batter, and the Cubs lose. I mean, my God, does this happen to anybody else? It's the Cubs. You know what? You're pros. You don't plunk people when the bases are loaded. It's 0-2. You don't have to pick the corners. Go get the guy. I don't care. So the Cubs lose. But that is not the biggest story or travesty. If you want to watch, and this is what hurts all professional sports, and it's not just what happened last night in basketball. It happens in the NFL. We have this replay system now, and when you go to replay and still blow the call, then there is a problem. We thought that there was human error before. If you can't make the call on replay, then obviously there is a problem. What do you folks think? Last night, Oklahoma City and the LA Clippers, we are actually seeing some of the best playoff basketball that we have seen in a long time, and I think there's two reasons. It's that the West is so good that you have great teams playing in the first and second rounds instead of waiting till the conference finals. And in the East, it's so mediocre that you actually have teams that haven't advanced on in the past having a chance, like the Washington Wizards, to move on, and they just drilled Indiana last night. But how can you ref basketball for a number of years and blow the call last night? The Clippers should have never lost. Yes, that's right. They gave Oklahoma City chances to win the ball game, and Oklahoma City took advantage of it. But numerous blown and bad calls, I just don't get it. If you're a professional and you're expected to perform, and I go back to Kevin Durant and the Oklahoma newspaper saying, you know, that he was almost everything but a choker in the last series. Well, if you're supposed to be a professional as a ball player, you've got to be a professional as an official, and you've just got to quit blowing these calls. I mean, it's getting to a new height, it seems to me. And it just seems to be getting to a new height with blown calls. And now with replay, and you continue to blow calls, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1515. Those are all the numbers at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, there's the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And that is the gist of our poll question today. Brought to you by Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Go down to Midtown Mart as we get into finally maybe some warmer weather to enjoy all of your favorite beverages or whatever it is you need to get the weekend rolling along, or just a nice maybe grill out on the deck. They have got it all there for you. Our poll question, which major league sport or which professional sport has the best replay system? Which sport has the best replay system? And you can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Which sport has the best replay system? Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, or the NHL? To tell you the truth, I just don't know. I don't know, because they botch them in every sport. And when the general public knows that you have botched it, there is no recourse. There is no way to say, well, you can't make a mistake twice. You can't make a mistake on the initial call, then take all the time it takes you to go look at the replay and make the mistake again. Which one, though? Which professional sports has the best replay system? Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. I'm going to go with, it might be hockey, people. Maybe it's just a little easier because all they have to do is determine if it's a goal or not. They really don't review a whole lot of other things. So that's what I'm going to go with. Our question yesterday, which NFL team would you most like to see on this year's Hard Knocks? 64% went with Cleveland, 27% went with Seattle, and only one other vote out there as well. So a lot of people want to see Cleveland. Nobody took the Rams. And again, you can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. When we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Wes Burnt, Michael Colgate for our Loper Link. We are live in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Andy will be with us a little bit later on in the show to talk about what they've got going on. We are in Broken Bow at the D8 District Track Meet. Back with more after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Plenty of sunshine for today. We could see a few spotty showers and storms, mainly during the afternoon. Highs will top out near 64 degrees with gusty west-northwesterly winds. I'm meteorologist Phil Jensko. Right now it's 62.
Here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as we do every Wednesday, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. We'll get to some of the other Loper sports in just a little bit, but we welcome into the studio. We talked about it with the director of golf, Chad Lydiot, as you guys were coming back last week. Wes Berth, coach UNK men, Michael Colgate, the first Division II qualifier as he gets ready to head out to the national tournament next week. Guys, welcome into the program. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, Wes, I want to start with you. All you can do is watch. Michael has to go out and play when the coaching's done. What was? Let's get right to the meat and potatoes here. That third day, what was the advice and what was it like watching him?
Well, I stayed mainly with the team until about the back nine. I was still kind of holding that hope that we'd, you know, kind of get together and make a serious run at making it as a team. Kind of at the end, I hung back with Mike and, you know, basically caddied for him, but you know, he was hitting it so good. It was almost like playing a video game where I could, you know, basically tell him it's 127 and he'd hit it, you know, 127. Kind of helped him read some greens, but really, you know, he was in such a good, you know, frame, you know, mindset that I just kind of stayed out of his way at the end.
Michael, you have been on the stage, and most of the guys that are going to be competing for the individual title next week have been on the stage. But did the nerves still get to you, or what was your mind frame on the final round?
I don't think so. I was just trying to go lower. I was just going to try to keep making birdies. I mean, I started out with a birdie on the first hole. My putter kind of faltered during the round. But my mindset was just to keep going, keep the big numbers off the card. I mean, I think I was the only person in the field to not have a double bogey throughout the tournament, so I think that was a huge thing, just limiting my mistakes and scoring when I needed to.
Are you normally a close-to-the-vest conservative player, a go-for-it player? Does it matter on the situation? I mean, there's Zach Johnson, there's Phil Mickelson. Where do you fall?
I'd say I'm probably more of the Zach Johnson spectrum. I lay up more often than not, probably like the exact opposite of most of the kids on our team. But if there's times to go for it, I usually go for it. But when pressure situations are on, you know, I'm more of a layup and hit it to a good wedge range.
This is a 54-hole tournament in the regionals, 3 days. So take me through the first day, kind of how you felt going into the second day, and then and second going into the third.
The first day, I was just trying to help my team get in contention. First 2 days could have actually been really low. 71 was probably the highest I could have shot. I was for like a 68 or 67 if I would have gotten some putts through the hole. But the second day, actually could have been probably 65. I probably had 30 putts, and I left probably 4 or 5 dead in the heart. But I hit the ball pretty well. I didn't have to worry too much about ball striking. Just, you know, focused on my spots, my lines, where I wanted to put the ball. And, you know, luckily everything just worked out. I didn't have any bad holes and had a pretty decent tournament.
Talking with Michael Colgate, UNK sophomore. He will be the first Loper to make it to the national tournament at the Division II level. And Coach Westburn, take me through the team as well, because day one, positioned okay. The team has kind of been in a new spot, being ranked this year, expecting to do well. And it was so tight. As I mentioned, I believe one stroke per player per day gets the team to the Nationals.
Yeah, you know, it was disappointing, especially having a guy play so well in Mike. You know, honestly, if we played decent, I think we would have been right there. We just, you know, our 4-5 spot just kind of, actually 3-4-5 spot just kind of faltered, and, you know, they weren't as consistent as they normally were. And, you know, I think we're talented enough that if we played okay, we would have made it.
Your thoughts, because we know what the weather's been like here, how tough it is to practice, although with the facilities now out at Awori and the academy, it really helps out. But how tough was it to be prepared for this tournament compared to what you guys had to go through the spring?
Yeah, it's really difficult. I mean, you can work on your putting and your ball striking and everything in our facility there, but you know, that's not on the course experience, and sometimes you forget how to score, and I think we kind of struggled with that a little bit too. You know, I think the week even leading up to regionals, we had a snowstorm actually, and then, you know, even this week, Mike's trying to get ready, and you know, yesterday was miserable, so it's tough.
Wes, when we were talking with Chad Liddiot last week, he says Michael's not going to be overwhelmed by the moment. You know, that it was a round, it was a tournament. Yay, I won. That's great. Just kind of talk about his demeanor and how that is beneficial as you continue to get bigger and bigger in the tournaments.
Well, on the course during competition, it really doesn't change. You know, he's played in the USAM, which is a very, very big deal to do. Not very many people have played in the USAMs. I really don't expect him to be any different come, you know, when we tee off.
Michael, a lot of people were jacked up because they knew your resume coming to UNK, and a program that's not on the national stage needs a break. They need to get a kid that can help. Talk about how you landed here.
Well, I was playing pretty good the summer before my senior year. I was getting a couple looks. I was actually talking to the UNL coach and a couple schools down south, and I just started playing awful. So it was actually a really tough time in my golfing career. But then I think it was about November or December of my senior year, I filled out the questionnaire on the Lopers website because my mom went here for a year, and so she suggested it. And I got a call from Wes, started talking a little bit. I came up here to visit, and actually visited on the coldest day of the year. It was like 10 degrees or something like that. Like, well, this is going to be great, going from 80 degrees in Florida to 10 degrees in Nebraska. But I like the facilities. I like the campus, and I'm actually really glad I came here.
Wes Burnt and Michael Colgate with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Talk about growing up, being able to almost every day, if it's not pouring rain, go out and prepare, and the challenges in keeping fresh here in Nebraska.
It's really difficult. I mean, you can see probably from my scores at the beginning of this semester, they were not good. I started out with a couple 78s and scores in the high 70s. Obviously, I've never lived in snow before. I mean, of the 8 or 9 years I've been playing golf, if I wanted to go practice, I just went out and practiced. But I usually stayed pretty disciplined and going out to the academy and practicing just about every day this winter. And getting stronger and just doing something to help me stay in the mood for golf. But I think I've done all right job with it, and Wes has helped me out a lot.
What are you still working on as you get ready for next week?
Short game and putting. My ball striking right now is good enough to contend in a tournament. But around the greens and making those pressure 8 to 10 foot par putts, that's what's going to be the key when I get there.
What do you think about the golf courses that you've played here in college? Compared to what you grew up on, and are they all about the same in difficulty, or was regionals a lot tougher? Just take me through that.
Well, back home, there's no hills in Florida, so Awari's obviously not really that hilly, but it's the hilliest I've played when I came here. Mm-hmm. But I'd say they're a lot more difficult for me, and I think the wind makes it a lot more difficult. Back home, it probably blows 10 miles an hour at most. Here, it's 10 miles an hour every day, usually blowing 30. But, I mean, growing up in Florida, I'd say it was a lot tougher adapting and trying to play golf here. But I've liked it a lot, and it's only made me a better golfer trying to adapt to these situations.
Take me through your feelings when you won the regional tournament and then kind of carried the UNK banner, obviously being the first golfer on the men's side to make a D2 national. What it means to you?
First off, it means a lot to actually be the first Loper to make D2 nationals. I mean, that's why I came here. I wanted to make a difference in a program. I wanted to help bring this program to the national level. And I like to think I've been doing an okay job of it so far, but hopefully this is just the beginning. What was the first part of that question?
That's a good question. What was the first part of that question? As far as what it meant to be a part of the D2 Nationals and what how you felt, I mean, what the difference is between winning the tournament, I guess, and, you know, going to D2 Nationals.
Right. I was pretty calm, you know, those last couple holes. I kind of knew where I stood. Wes was telling me if I was like 3 or 4 strokes up. But, yeah, my emotions didn't really change too much. I was actually kind of mad. I really wanted to go a little lower. I was not going to be happy if I finished over par. Luckily, I birdied my second to last hole. But I remember there was one shot. It was our third to last hole. It was a really sharp, really short par 4. And I had, like, a pitching wedge, and we couldn't tell what the wind was doing. And so I played a little less wind and hit it short and spun it back off the ridge and ended up, like, 50 feet from the pin. I was pretty angry. But Wes is like, all right, that's a good spot. I'm like, terrible shot. Not happy about that at all. Luckily, I made par. But now I was walking up to the 18th hole or the 18th green. It was just kind of relieved. You know, I could just two putt this, and I'm pretty much gonna win. But it was actually a great feeling. It was cool to get back in the winner's circle again.
Wes, differences between in moments like that are key. When you're a youngster, you haven't had as much experience as you had going through the collegiate ranks and now coaching. What about the differences between playing at the collegiate level and now coaching?
It's tougher. I'm way more nervous watching these guys play than if I was going to play myself. And I can relate, but some of these guys hit the ball so much farther than me that, you know, they do play a different course than I do. So sometimes you got to think strategy, not necessarily in terms of what I would do, but what I would do if I was them. So that's a little bit different. And then, you take it, player by player. And, Mike, for example, really doesn't struggle hooking the ball. So I don't, if there's trouble left, it's not that big of a concern when we're kind of looking at a course for him. Whereas other players, you might want them hitting a different club off a tee.
Let's talk about your expectations as you go up to Michigan next week. You already told me that might weather forecast looks like it might be a little cooler, so I guess you're used to that. But what are you wanting out of next week?
Basically, I want to win. That'd be pretty cool. But the only thing I can control is what I do. I can't control what the other players do. So if I can shoot 400 again, I'd say that'd put me in a pretty good spot. But my expectation is just to play as good as I can, not make any big mistakes. And most importantly, just have a lot of fun. I'm representing UNK for the first time up there. And hopefully I can just make you guys proud and hopefully bring home something you guys can be proud of.
What do you know about the course? I assume you've never seen it, so all you can do is kind of look at it online, or have you seen this course?
Yeah, there's a yardage book online. It looks kind of like an in-between of a links-style course and just a normal course with water on it. It looks kind of like Gothenburg, would you say, Coach?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
But someone I know back home, her name's Lindsay Bergeron. She was on the big break on Golf Channel this last year. She got second in DCU Nationals there back in 06. So I'll be asking her a couple questions about the course. But other than that, it looks like a really nice course. And I just can't wait to get up there.
And Michael, what about, Wes talked a little bit about the team. You talked about wanting the team to get there. How close has this team been? And is it, the question is it headed in the right direction? Because it looks like it is. But what about the team you guys got coming back next year?
We're losing our senior, Lance Lawson. He was a huge part of our team. He had a 71 average fall semester. That's the best average we've ever had here. But we'll have three of our starters coming back. Actually, I'll be redshirting, so two of our starters. But we have a really deep lineup. We have any guys that can go two or three under on any given day. We've got a couple of recruits coming in, Chris from Arizona and Braxton from Iowa. They're going to work really hard, and they're going to be really good contributions to the team. So I'm not worried about the team. I'm taking the year off. It's going to be really good. We'll probably get ranked again if we keep playing good. But, the sky's the limit for this program. Hopefully this is just the beginning.
Last couple minutes here with Westburn and Michael Colgate, UNK Golf. Yes, people, you heard that right. Michael is not going to be on varsity golf next year. He's the first guy to go to D2 Nationals, yet it's going to be different. And, Wes, could you address why that is?
Well, he's switching majors, and that's the first thing. It's going to take him a little longer to get to school. But, honestly, I'm thrilled about it. It's going to be tough losing him next year, but I get him around for one more year on the back of it, and, I get him for 5 years, which is going to be really nice. He's also going to take that year to keep lifting, try to get stronger, keep working on his game. It's not like he's going to take it off. He'll still probably be the hardest worker on the team, even as a redshirt.
And Michael, the regionals are coming to Awori Dunes in what would be your senior year. How big of a part of that was that in your decision?
It's a pretty big part. That's pretty much a guaranteed bid to Nationals if we play somewhat decent. As a team, we played okay during our tournament this last year. We shot 274 the last round. That's pretty good. A couple 67s and a 68. But mainly the reason I want to redshirt is I want to keep playing this game. I just want another year to keep playing in college, hopefully get a little better. And my overall goal is to hopefully take my game to the next level so I can play on many tours, pro tours or something like that. But I think it's a smart move for me, and I just can't wait to keep working hard.
Do you already have a plan for what you will do? Does this mean more travel, or does this mean a lot more driving range, a lot more work on your individual game?
It probably won't be too much different. I just won't be qualifying for tournaments and playing for varsity tournaments. But any tournaments I can play in, I'll be traveling too and getting there too. But I'll still be working hard, still be out there every day, still trying to get stronger. And that's about it. Just won't be too much from the norm.
Now, you have a swing coach that people may have heard of. Take me through that and how often you get to work with Barry.
Barry Cheeseman, he's my swing coach back home. I've been working with him for about 4 or 5 years now. He's the reason why my game turned the corner back in high school. And I'll actually be seeing him up in Michigan. He's playing the PGA Senior Championship about an hour and a half away. So we'll hopefully be able to see him there. I think he's going to come watch a couple days. But, yeah, he played a couple of years in the Pro Tour. He knows what he's doing. And I work with him. I send him videos probably every week or so. If I'm ever in a slump, I'm working with Wes, and then I talk to Barry about what Wes is teaching me. And it's a huge part of my game. Having him critiquing my swing, I wouldn't be here without it.
Is that intimidating, Wes?
No, not at all. Whatever makes him better. So
That's what it all comes down to. And again, Michael Colgate is going to be competing up at the NCAA Division II Championships, which is hosted by Grand Valley State. It starts on Monday in Allendale, Michigan. Without the team there, it will be all individual for you. So I guess you don't have to, A, you don't have to focus on that, but B, you won't have the guys around either, or is anybody going up with you?
I think my dad's going to fly up, and a couple friends from high school. One goes to Valparaiso, he might drive up. But, yeah, it's too bad the team won't be there. I'll miss those guys a lot. I mean, they're a lot of fun. I'm more of the serious guy on the team, so they loosen me up every now and then. That won't be there, so that's too bad. But I just can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully Wes can put up with me for a couple days, and hopefully we can put a good finish up there.
And, Michael, I don't know, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but you weren't one of those child prodigies at 4 or 5 that was playing junior tournaments when you were 7 and 8. How did you pick up the game, and how did you get so good so quick?
Just a lot of practice and hard work, pretty much. During the summer, starting probably about 8th grade, all I did was golf. I didn't really hang out with friends or go to the movies or anything. I just practiced all day. But I played baseball about my whole life up until I was 12 or 13, but I realized I was too short and too little to play. I mean, my freshman year of high school, I was 4'11 and 90 pounds. It's not very big. I didn't know I was going to grow, so maybe I would have stuck with baseball then. But it all just boils down to hard work, and yeah, that's about it. That's the reason why I got so good.
You seem pretty calm and collected. Because of some of the play in the amateurs, some of the big tournaments, you figure you're nervous. You're not a nervous guy. You'll be fine on the first tee next week?
Yeah, I mean, there's always those first tee jitters. I mean, even the pros, even Tiger and Phil get those first tee jitters. But it's all about how you react to them. I mean, Jack Nicklaus said that if you're not nervous, you're not in contention. So that's always a good feeling. If you're nervous, then you're doing something right.
Well, I'm nervous because I'm not sure where the ball's going. But at least you guys know where it's going. Wes, anything else? I mentioned with Chad last week, you know, just a handful of years ago, even in your day, the facilities and aren't what they are now. UNK mm-hmm. Golf has directly – they've upgraded, and it's showing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the program's heading in the right direction, you know, and I think we'll just continue to get better from here. You know, Mike will continue to get better. Basically, you have the facilities here, and if you want to get better, you can. You know? And it, really, when I played, it was, you know, you're just at the mercy of the weather. So it's a lot different now.
Well, hopefully all goes well next week. We'll be keeping an eye on the scoreboard. And, Michael, we wish you the best of luck. Thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And, Wes, thanks for coming in. Hey, best of luck and continued success with building the program.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Well, let's check what else is going on with UNK Athletics. The tennis team recently picked up some Central Region honors from the Intercollegiate Tennis Association. Yeswanth Nadella was tabbed as the Central Men's Senior Player of the Year. Kristen Weems wins the Women's Arthur Ashe Sportsmanship and Leadership Award. And grad assistant John Steinke selected as the Central Assistant Coach of the Year on the women's side. In track, UNK track and field team plays 5 men and 2 women on the all-region outdoor team. The top 5 individuals in each event from each region will get a chance to move on. The regions used for this award match those during the cross-country season. So for the women, Marissa Bongers and Jackie Zemke. For the men, Nick Knutson, Brady Land, Paul Pape, Dylan Trote, and Michael Thalkin. And for the Lopers, they finished up the regular season with some last chance meets last weekend. The list of qualifiers for the NCAA championships is due to come out, and we'll be talking with Coach Brady Bonzel before they head to Nationals on next week's Loper Link. Also, the UNK baseball team, 6 players were named All-Conference in the last week. Kearney Catholic graduate Anthony Pacheco and junior Danny Droll out of Colorado first team. Junior catcher Max Ayu of Grand Island on the second team. Kearney High graduate Brandon Landanger and Logan Willard out of Iowa on the third team, and closer Joe Schmidt from North Platte was named honorable mention. So that's what's going on with the Lopers as they head to track nationals. And, of course, Michael Colgate heading up to Michigan. We wish him the best of luck. And that is our Loper Link brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. And we'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road this week. We're at District Track covering reports, getting ready for state next week. State soccer going on, golf right around the corner. Oh, I just saw things perk up over there, Andy. Just saw things perk up. How's it going, man? Andy from good. Midway Auto Dealership's with us.
Good, good. How are you doing, man?
Doing good. Yeah. I'm so tired. Everybody's waiting for good weather. You move more cars when it's nice out. You move more trucks maybe when there's a little snow out over the wintertime.
Yeah.
But let's get ready for Memorial Day, man.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? At both dealerships this month, it's the Memorial Day event that we have going on. And there's a lot of great things, especially down at that Chrysler store right now. They also have the 100th anniversary for Dodge. Dodge has been around now for over 100 years, and it's absolutely fantastic. They've actually put out some extra juice on these vehicles. They have on the Challengers and the Chargers, the RT versions with the 5.7 liter Hemi, they actually have never before seen discounts and rebates on these vehicles. Great part for folks is, here's the thing, it's springtime. We all know that the Challengers and the Chargers are two absolutely gorgeous vehicles. And the cool part is we actually just got four Challengers right off of the truck. Orange one, just absolutely gorgeous. Just great vehicles, and they're fun. Great selection of new Rams. I'll tell you what, we've actually been leasing a ton of new Rams. There's a lot of great incentives out there, a lot of great reasons to come check out that Chrysler lineup. And I'm telling you what, when you throw in the Jeep product that's out there right now with the Grand Cherokees, the Jeep Cherokee, the Compass, everything, folks, there has literally never been a better lineup through the Chrysler right now. Whether you're talking Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram, we have great selection, over 125 new vehicles on the ground. We have another 50 to 70 that are in transit, on the way. So we just like an opportunity to go ahead and show you what Chrysler has to offer, and especially during the Memorial Day sales event that we have going on and Dodge's 100th anniversary. There's a lot of things to celebrate, and we've been selling a whole bunch of brand new vehicles lately. And I'll tell you what, if you're in the market, we want you to be a part of that trend also.
Andy and the gang at the Midway Auto Dealership, sometimes you need that economical family car. Sometimes you need that work truck. Sometimes it's time to just have a little bit of fun, and that's what summer's about.
Absolutely, man.
We'll see you tomorrow, bud.
See you, man.
Don't forget, folks, Midway Auto Dealerships are there for you on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Purchase a membership to the Hastings Museum and feed the family dinner for free. June 3rd is membership celebration at the Hastings Museum, and you're invited with a renewal or new membership purchase. Members will also be the first to see the new summer exhibit, Cruise in the Fossil Freeway for free. And members have the opportunity to buy tickets early to Mysteries of the Unseen World 3D, the new film for this summer. Members also receive discounts on summer fun classes for the kids. More information at hastingsmuseum.org. Life up close.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Hey!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
It's hard enough just being a kid. Don't let them face the pressure alone. Take a stand and talk to your child about the consequences of underage drinking. For resources on talking to your child, visit positivepressure.org. Join the majority. 2 out of 3 high school students choose not to drink. Take a stand. A message from the Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board and Positive Pressure. Visit positivepressure.org.
After drawing away from the field in the Kentucky Derby, can California Chrome continue his amazing run in the Preakness?
California Chrome into the final furlong. He's got a 5-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front.
Tune in to find out. The 139th Preakness Stakes this Saturday.
Catch all the action beginning Saturday at 4 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Daddy Show rolling on here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, which is in Broken Bow today at Mark Russell Field for the D8 District Track Meet. Jeff Babel is down in Wilcox at the D7. We'll have updates all day for you. And a quick rundown of what we've got right here. Your champions so far for the girls in the high jump, Lindsay Siegel of Ansley Litchfield tying the Class D mark this year. Her best jump, 5.7. Tamara Myers of Anselmo Myrna wins the triple jump at 35.8.5. For the guys, Jake Bartling of Elm Creek wins the shot, 52.8.5. Hayden Geis of Elm Creek wins the pole vault at 13 feet. And Dexter Griebel of Twin Loop wins the long jump, 20.5.5. Of course, Kearney is hosting the A1 this afternoon. Grand Island's there. And Hastings is in Omaha at Papillion for the A4. There has not been a lot of scoring so far at the state high school soccer tournament. The first game today went to Millard North with their 1-0 victory over Lincoln East. And the Kearney High girls, currently at halftime with Omaha Westside, are scoreless. And Kearney boys coach Scott Steinbrook is down there in Omaha watching the action. Scott, thanks for the time. What have we seen in the first half?
Well, I tell you what, Kearney has played really well. We had a couple of real good chances early on. Nicole Steeple, she's had a great year for our girls, had a couple of chances. And Westside has a freshman goalkeeper that has just been phenomenal so far. But Kearney's faster than Omaha Westside is. Westside maybe a little more skillful. And Westside had a couple chances late in the first half, but it's a pretty evenly played game with both sides having a couple good chances so far.
Scott, Westside is without their best player. In fact, she's so good, she's on a national team. What's the feeling down there on how that could be affecting? They play with her all year, then all of a sudden you take out your best player.
Well, I think anybody who coaches would agree that you take your best player off the field. You know, I liken that to, you know, us playing without Damian Austin or our girls having to play without Kelsey Stidham or Claire Stickler. You know, you become so reliant when you have one of those special players like that. You know, so I think Westside, you could tell early on about the first 20, 25 minutes, they're just kind of trying to find their way, you know, maybe try to figure out some people in some new positions. But the last 10 or 15 minutes, they kind of settled into the game and probably had the better play. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for that girl to have that, to have that opportunity with the national team. And I guess Kearney potentially could benefit from her being so good.
What did you see in the first game? I mean, it was 1-0. That would have to give the winner of this game some hope in the semifinals.
Yeah, you know, I got here about a halftime of the first game. And, you know, it's one of those games where it was 1-0. But just from the half that I saw, it felt like Millard North was really in control. They were an awfully good team. They had a lot of possession. And, you know, sometimes a 1-0 game, you know, feels just real close and competitive and chaotic. And just from what I saw, Millard North seemed like they were definitely the better team. But, you know, I tell you what, our girls are tough. They play hard. They're real fast, real skillful. So, you know, I don't think it matters who they play. I think they got a shot.
So just going by your earlier comments, it sounded like Kearney came out of the gates pretty quick and Westside maybe had a little momentum going into the halftime locker room. Is that accurate?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think anytime you pair a team from Central or Western Nebraska against the Metro Area team in the opening round, there's always that little bit of, you know, maybe a lack of respect or lack of appreciation for how good, you know, some of the teams are from, you know, like when Hastings is here or Kearney or North Platte. I mean, there's a lot of good players, and I think sometimes you may have a chance to catch one of those Lincoln or Omaha teams napping, and it definitely felt like that. Our girls, they came out gunning, they came out fast, but I think once Westside realized, hey, you know, Kearney's pretty darn good, that we're going to have to buckle down, and you can tell they did that a little bit. And again, like I said, the last 10 or 15 probably went to Westside.
You've been around Coach Anderson enough. She knows what's going on, and none of these girls have been to state soccer. They haven't had the fortune like you guys have had here over the last few years. What do you think's going on in that locker room here at half?
Well, I think, if anything, they should be confident. If I can get inside Tammy's head a little bit, she's probably just saying, hey, we belong. You know, we absolutely belong here. We are here to play and on the same level as Westside, with or without You know, they're a sensational midfielder. But I think even though it's 0-0 and we've missed some chances, our girls have to feel pretty good about things. We did a lot of subbing, too, which I thought was interesting. Tammy ran a lot of girls in and out. It's warm down here, and it's warm on the turf. Hopefully, you know, since we maybe used a few more players than Westside did, you know, our speed and our legs will hold up a little bit in the second half.
So Kearney High and the Omaha Westside girls are scoreless at halftime in the opening round of the Class A state soccer tournament. Millard North already beat Lincoln East 1-0. Marion will play Southeast and Lincoln Southwest against Millard West next. We're talking with Kearney boys coach Scott Steinbrook, and I don't want you to miss any of the action, Scott, but I do want your thoughts on Grand Island meeting up with Westside tomorrow. And Coach Jensen had some fairly strong comments earlier in the week about the Omaha South situation. I was wondering if you had any comments with maybe the two best teams in A playing tomorrow morning at 9.
Well, it certainly sets up for an interesting first-round match. And, you know, when you talk about the last time that they played, it was in the state championship in front of almost 9,000 people. And the next thing you know, they're on the pitch at 9 a.m. in the opening round. So, you know, that half the bracket is absolutely loaded. You know, I think, you know, you know, Lincoln Southwest on the bottom half of the bracket, it probably sets up nicely for them. But those first two round games with GI and Westside and Prep and South, you know, that's going to be some awfully good soccer players on the field in that first round.
All right, Coach. Hey, we appreciate you taking a couple minutes to give us an update. And yell loud for everybody that's back here at home, would you?
Absolutely. I will say this. Coaching here is much more fun than being a sideline correspondent, but it's been fun talking to you guys.
Well, we'll get them back next year, Scott. Thanks for the time.
Yep, thanks, Doug. Bye.
That is Kearney boys soccer coach Scott Steinbrook joining us from Omaha, where the state high school soccer tournament is going on. We are here in Broken Bow. Hopefully we've got you as covered as we possibly can with district action today in Wilcox. Jeff Babel's there. I am here in Broken Bow. Tomorrow I'll be up in Loup City. Jeff will be at Wood River. We'll talk with Wood River track coach Kevin Mayfield coming up after the break. Also baseball going on. Grand Island has made the state tournament. They won the A6 district last night after a little bit of a slow start. They unloaded offensively, and they win it by a score of 13-3 over Bellevue West. Now, West ends up getting in on a wild card, so maybe that wasn't quite as tense as one would be. In fact, they're the 6th and 7th seed. Grand Island at 17-6 will play 23-7 Omaha Creighton Prep Saturday afternoon at 1 at Lincoln's Sherman Field. Ironically, all the games are in Lincoln this year in Class A, and not one Lincoln school made it. The story, though, could be, are the teams in Class A the best team? Because many people believe Norris in B is the best team in the state. They and Pius are the 1 and 2 seeds in Class B, and they actually are playing their games at Werner Park. So B is playing in Omaha, A is playing in Lincoln for baseball. And then, of course, Nebraska baseball with Creighton canceled yesterday because the Huskers could not get home from Michigan State in a decent time to play, and that's too bad. They were expecting over 10,000 fans. Creighton, if you haven't been paying attention, leads the Big East, and Nebraska, of course, tied for second. Tomorrow, we've got a lot of baseball to talk about. Dan Hartlib, the Illinois head coach, is going to join us. Tanner Lubach, the starting catcher for the Huskers, is going to join us. There's a couple reasons we wanted to talk to Tanner. He's been out with injury. He's now back, and he's hitting well here in that series last week against Michigan State. Of course, he's got the job. Kearney's Taylor Fish has played well in his absence. We'll talk about that relationship and even a little bit about Quinn McGill, who had to step in after Fish tweaked a hamstring. So we'll talk with him tomorrow as well on the Doug and Daddy Show, as we will be very, very busy. Plus, we'll be talking to Joe Drape of the New York Times. A lot of folks wanted to hear from him, and we were saving him for the Preakness, so we'll talk about that. Gino Bucola is with us from the TVG Network. He made a lot of people a lot of money during the Kentucky Derby with his long shot pick. So we'll rejoin us from the TVG Network on Friday. Couple of other sports notes that we want to pass along Friday. We've got Nebraska softball, and of course, we really haven't touched on the Josh Banderas situation. And I don't know how much we can really touch on it, but to say, you know, what are you thinking? And young men, young women, this is something that happens from time to time. It's been a long time since we've seen a Nebraska athlete in the blotter, and it's not just him. It's Nebraska distance runner Lucas Kiefer. They went to school together, teammates at Lincoln Southwest, and you know, they're out jacking around. That's what they're doing. And a lot of people are already saying, well, I can see it if it was 2 a.m. and, you know, they'd had a few and they were saying, oh, let's go take some bikes. Well, this is at 5 p.m. in broad daylight with bolt cutters. And, man, I'm sure Coach Pelini I wonder how many times he's actually talked to Nebraska's track and cross country coaches, but they've got to come up with some kind of a punishment here. And, you know, what do you do in this day and age? You know, okay, so you suspend him for the first game or two. Well, what's that? I mean, you're playing nobody. And take the bikes back. It just kind of depends on what the intent is. I mean, if you're stealing stuff, I mean, that's, you know, you get a DUI, you get a DUI, okay? You know, you're an MIP, you're an MIP. There's nothing great about any breaking of the law. But, I mean, if you're stealing bikes, have you done it other times? Have you stole other things? You got a little, I mean, we'll find out more about this. And I imagine Coach Pelini will come down pretty harshly on Banderas, who, let's face it, is there anybody out there that doesn't like Josh Banderas, like their family, like the story of him coming up through Lincoln Southwest, what he did in football? A great young man. We've had him on the show, a pleasant to talk to. We've had his dad on the show, pleasant to talk to. Somebody that you want to root for, a kid that came right on the field his true freshman year, and now all of a sudden you get flicked like that and people wonder what's the real story. I believe Josh Banderas is a pretty darn good human being and made a major screw-up, so we'll see what happens. When we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, more track, Kevin Mayfield, Wood River, after this.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
In this risky market, does your farm have the protection it needs? Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company is committed to providing the American farmer with complete farm insurance solutions for every operation. Their wide selection of crop, property, auto, and liability products will help manage risk and keep you protected. Kroll Agency in Kennesaw, Minden, Roseland, and Hastings can help you determine the products that best fit your needs. Call Kroll Agency for complete risk management coverage, customized solutions, and superior service. Farmers Mutual Hail and Kroll Agency are equal opportunity providers.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda with you here in Broken Bow. We've got Merritt Lawson doing the producing and engineering back at the studio. Jeff Babel is at Wilcox covering district track. Don't forget the A1 at Kearney High today as well. And if you're out and about and just want to relax, I know the college kids are out. They're enjoying a little time off. If you're just looking for some cold beverages or a great meal or just to hang out with your friends and enjoy some live entertainment, Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and Courtyard is the place to be. North side of the bricks in downtown Kearney. Of course, with the nicer weather and as we get into the summer, some great live music out in the courtyard, not just the weekends that they have inside, but music almost every night out in the courtyard. And folks have been clamoring to get out there and enjoy some beautiful weather. And if you're not doing that today, you can get in, have the coldest draft beer in town, happy hour from 3 to 6, specials on big-ass beers and well drinks during that time. And, of course, great menu of appetizers and a full menu of not bar food, folks. These are half-pound, three-quarter-pound burgers, the Juicy Jack, the Juicy Lucy. You can't beat those. You can get pizzas. You can get salads, a variety of sandwiches, and so much more to choose from. You can have lunch there every day for a month and not have to worry about doubling up. Cunningham's Journal, the Lofton Courtyard, for great food, great fun, and live entertainment. Downtown Kearney. Well, UNK's track and field teams are sending eight to the national championships. Many of those were All-Americans in the indoor season, including Marissa Bongers and Jackie Zemke for the women. The six men are Brady Land, Nick Knutson, Paul Pape, Dylan Schroat, Mark Seba, and Michael Falcon. Well, our first wave of field events is wrapped up here in Broken Bow. The second half is coming up, and we'll give you some results in a moment. But B and C track meets are going on tomorrow. We'll be in Loup City and Wood River, and Wood River Eagle coach Kevin Mayfield giving us some time this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
How you doing?
Well, great to have you on. This weather is conducive to actual track competition here over the next 2 days, which is unlike what we've seen most of the season. Are the kids fired up?
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect if we get nice weather. It's been kind of a strange year. Practice times have been awkward. We haven't had a lot of great weather for that. And it seems like every day we have a meet, it's windy or rainy or something like that. And we just had our conference meet last week in St. Paul, and I was waiting for it to start snowing.
That was like three different seasons. We were sweating in the morning, we were freezing early, and then when things were wrapping up, it was actually kind of decent out there. Coach, what is the biggest hurdle? I mean, I can ask any coach this, but what is the biggest obstacle? And I suppose it depends if you've got a seasoned team or a young team, but when you have to battle these conditions, you're trying to get better, and it's hard to do that. What's the biggest obstacle when you don't have a good spring season and you're getting here to the postseason?
I think just like you said, any coach would say that of just trying to keep the kids having a positive attitude. There's only so much you can do indoors, whether it's in a gymnasium or a hallway or any running area that you have. And to get the best performances by any kid, you just have to get outside and get on the track, and especially in the field events. The positive that we got to look at that I've used with our kids, everybody's in the same boat. You may not get your best performance, but it's about competing and just doing the best you can.
Well, let's talk about your team, and then we'll talk about the field overall. You've definitely got some good performers on both sides, but everybody wants to bring up Paige Hervert of Kearney Catholic, who scores a ton of points at state, but Jessica Rauert beat her in both the 100 and 200 at conference last week, and let's start with her.
Yeah, Jessica's had a real good season so far this year. She's almost broke our 100-meter record. She has tied our 200-meter record. Everything she gets, she deserves. She works very hard in practice, has a positive attitude. Being only a sophomore, she is a good leader on our team by example. We do have a good girls team. We are very senior-oriented. I believe we have 7 or 8 senior girls with a lot of talent and all have a possibility of getting to state. And the problem is we are in a very tough district, as you mentioned before. Not only boy-wise and girl-wise, it's very, very difficult. Jessica, possibly I've talked with her about, she may not even finish in the top two of the 100 or 200 with some girls in our district, but if she can still run third, she can qualify for state. The other two sprinters that we have are Sheehy from St. Cecilia and the Hoynes girl from Superior. So all three of them are very good.
Do you have to think about tweaking? Are you deep enough, Kevin, that you might move some people around to try and qualify at state, or are you just going to go at your best event?
I think we'll probably just go with our best event. The things that the girls and the boys are comfortable with that they've run all year, sometimes you can start second-guessing yourself and you switch something around and you wish you would have left it. So I think we're just going to go with what's worked for us all year and hope that's good enough.
Kevin Mayfield, Wood River track coach, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How many of these non-conference schools have you run into this year?
We've seen St. Cecilia a couple times. I believe we've seen Blue Hill once. Of course, we've seen Donna from there in our conference quite a bit. Haven't seen Sutton or Sandy Creek at all. Sutton has a tremendous team. Chad Wiseman, who used to coach here at Wood River, I took over for him. Has some really, really good athletes, especially on the girls' side, but he's got some really good athletes on the boys' side, too.
Well, obviously, we're thinking about Sutton and all that happened to them over the weekend. So whether their focus is on track, hopefully that gives them a little something to focus on besides what happened down there last weekend. Kev, what are some of the other events that are going to be top-of-the-line events tomorrow that have multiple state qualifier possibilities outside of just the automatic two?
Well, obviously, we talked about the girls in the 100 and 200 with those three girls. It's really a very balanced district. We have a lot of events that there might be three or four kids that have a shot of getting it to state as long as they compete. One other event that I've kind of noticed that we've got that will be very competitive is our girls 4x8. St. Cecilia, Sutton, Donovan, and us are all within about 10 seconds of each other. And it's just going to be who performs on that day. Boys-wise, probably the most balanced area is probably in the triple jump. There's two St. Cecilia boys that are right at 41 foot. There's my son here at Wood River, DJ, who's right at 41 foot. And then there's Lepofsky from Sandy Creek, who's a little bit ahead of them, around 43 to 44 foot. But that's probably the most balanced of all the events.
I know team races aren't necessarily important. It does kind of point to who maybe had the best meet and will get the most kids down to state. Is St. Cecilia the favorite on both sides, or is there some other people that are going to be right in the mix?
Well, I think anytime St. Cecilia is involved, they have to be up with the favorites. As I mentioned earlier, Sutton has a very, very good girls team. They have a strong boys team. We have a strong girls team. We don't have a tremendous amount of depth, but we have some good athletes. I would even surprisingly hope our boys team could be, you know, in the top three. They've actually had a very, very good season. We don't have a lot of star performers led by DJ and then Jake Skeen, but we have a lot of younger kids that have picked up a lot of third, fourth, fifth, sixth places. And if they can do that tomorrow, I'm hoping we can be in the mix.
Kevin Mayfield, track coach at Wood River, the C9 going on tomorrow with some great talent over there. And maybe one other athlete that we really, a lot of people, I joked about it yesterday. They say, huh, she must be a freshman. But Maddie Quist, looks like she could really do some damage again tomorrow from Donovan Trumbull.
Yeah. I was going to mention that too when we, I kind of left her out a little bit. She had a tremendous conference track meet last week. I think she broke three records. She's probably close, if not leading the state in the 800, the mile, and the 2 mile. I think she works very hard. She's just a tremendous runner. Another girl that I left out was Delaney Lemkow from Sutton. She runs 400, 800, and is one of the top runners in the state. So it's definitely a talent-driven district, and hopefully the best will prevail.
Well, Kev, we'll let you get back to work over there. We're looking forward to a great meet, and hey, we appreciate the time of the Doug and Daddy Show. Good luck tomorrow.
Well, thank you very much and appreciate all your coverage. And if you want to talk longer, I'm sure my pre-algebra class would be happy to just leave me out here talking. But
they're probably ready for a test. Kev, thanks for the time. Good chatting with you. We are here on the Doug and Daddy Show with a couple of more minutes, and then we'll get you back into the Colin Cowherd Show. We were talking earlier today about replays and what was going on in replays with the botched call in the NBA last night. And Brent says, Doug, one of the worst blown replay calls was in 2006, the onside kick that Oregon did against Oklahoma. I'm not a Sooner fan, but that was terrible. And if I remember right, it took them out of the championship run. Thanks for the email, Brent. This comes from John. All officials are human, but that was such a homer call. It was sad. The NFL has the best replay, a ton of angles, and Mike Pena when he elaborates on the call, but definitely a major blown call in a game last night. Jimmy Langan wouldn't have missed that call. Well, I'm sure he'll appreciate your vote of confidence there, John. Appreciate that. Yeah, the hard thing is, I mean, yeah, you can make a mistake. But if you get to go look at a replay and you make a mistake on the replay, it's just folks can't handle that. Let's see. This comes from Mark. Says there is a report that the university said that any bikes left on campus after 5 on May 12th would become university property. So it sounds like maybe they thought they were fair game. Well, I had a buddy say that today. He goes, you know, maybe they just went by that spot on campus all the time and the bikes were there and there and there and they never moved. So he said, huh. Well, if nobody's going to take them, let's get them out of here. But obviously there are other proper channels to go through that, talking about the situation Josh Banderas ran into yesterday. Folks, a couple more results that will wrap it up here. Hannah Robbins of Elm Creek wins the girls' pole vault. There are only four vaulters that made the qualifying height. Does it with a job of 7 feet, 6 inches. Hannah Lane of Ansley Litchfield qualifies second at 6'10". Also, that is wrapped up here, the girls' discus, and Megan Max of Anselmo Myrna wins it, 1:17.10. Michaela Wawerka of South Loop was in second place. Jacob Bartley of Elm Creek wins the shot put. Jonathan Colesheen of Pleasanton were second. We'll have a full report coming up here in just a few minutes, but that's going to wrap up things on the Doug and Daddy Show. Want to thank Garrett Furnow and the entire crew here going on at the D8 District Track Meet. We'll have updates all afternoon until we are done. We'll also give you a final on Kearney High Girls. That was scoreless at halftime. They are underway in the second half at the state soccer tournament. We want to thank Kevin Mayfield, track coach at Wood River. We want to thank boys soccer coach at Kearney, Scott Steinbrick, for his live update from Omaha, and UNK golfer Michael Colgate, who's headed to the D2 National Championships, and his coach Wes Burnt for joining us on the show today. Tomorrow, we will talk with the head baseball coach at Illinois. Tanner Lubach is going to join us, Nebraska catcher, and we will also be chatting tomorrow with Joe Drape of the New York Times about the Preakness. For our producer, engineer Merritt Lawson, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks for joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show.